It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
I listen to this album pretty much every day driving to high school, senior year of high school, pretty much every day.
This would be the portion
every day
of your music DJ career that I would tune in.
See, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'd be good at that. Did you see
Chronic 2001? That was a formative album for your boy over here.
So Drake put out a diss track. I'm sure you've heard it. Came out last night.
Did not.
But interesting, interesting here. Curious for your opinion, actually,
Ooh.
As someone that
Ooh.
Loves music.
Ooh.
So the diss track was towards Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Guessing you know who that is.
Yeah, I think Kendrick's great.
Okay.
I think so he's super, super talented.
Obviously, he's a West Coast rapper.
Obviously.
Drake, well, yes. No, so listen, Drake.
I understand.
I know.
Good to know. Got
good
it.
To know.
So he's a West Coast.
So,
hey, is it Oakland or something like that, right?
I don't know Kendrick, where he's from. Anyway. I'm actually not a Kendrick guy, but regardless,
yeah.
He made a diss track and he used AI to where he did it in the voice of Tupac and Snoop as West Coast rappers coming at Kendrick.
Wow.
How do you feel about that?
I don't love it.
I like it. I think it's kind of cool. It's
creative.
Yeah.
Don't love it.
All right,
no,
fair enough. We'll put you firmly down in the
call,
Team Kendrick category.
Ever heard of Pandora in a box?
Yes.
So that's my concern with that one right there.
In honor of Glenn and Ray. That's what I've been listening to.
There you go. I like that. Good work. All right. Back to the phones in 1 second. One thing that came up, ironically, on Glenn, Glenn and Mike and Ray talking about Howie's draft record. And, you know, I feel like every time this year, and not as much on the Go Birds with our listeners and our show, but on the station in general, you hear a lot of how he's bad at drafting, how he's bad at, always screws it up. And you and I, you know, strongly disagree with the general sentiment. I don't think he's the best drafter ever, but I don't think he's bad at it. But going into this spot, I think the one thing you can say about Howie's draft record in recent years, certainly in the first round when he is in the 20s, it has not gone well
for
Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
It is probably his biggest deficiency in terms of a specific thing we can point to in the draft. And then cornerback, you know, if that's a position they're targeting, that's part of it too. There's all that. Are you at all concerned about Howie heading into this draft?
So what Glenn had said on his show was he saw a study that since 2014, the Eagles, and obviously Howie's been the GM, all that, besides 2015, which
besides
is probably
the one
worth
year,
pointing out. But since then, I believe the Eagles have the fourth or fifth most players in the NFL still that they've drafted. Which speaks to them being good drafters. Obviously, you know, there's if they have a bunch of 6th and 7th round guys versus 1st round guys, you could argue is that
and
the same.
And how many are backups
yeah,
versus
so
impact
there's
players?
Different
and there's
levels
that, yeah.
to it. But I think what it speaks to is that when it comes to the draft, why I trust Howie is I think that evaluating talent sometimes gets overstated as a part of being a great drafter. Clearly, it's important. But I think what Howie's good at is he's good at knowing value. He's good at being connected and making trades for good value.
He's great at it.
I think he understands positional value. And then when it comes to talent, I think he learns from his mistakes, right? We talked for so many years about how, why aren't they drafting big school guys? And maybe sometimes he swings too far in the other direction. But I don't think Howie is someone that's stubborn.
I agree
think
with that.
I think he moves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think with all GMs in the 20s, it's probably not a high hit rate, but I do have faith in Howie to make the right decision going into the draft.
215-592-9494. We'll throw that in the hopper as well if you want to chime in on your trust in Howie heading into the draft. We got 1 hour to go. We want to get to as many calls this hour as we can. We want to get to as many real ones and get them on the record as we can. And we don't have Tom from Vancouver to start the show. I had to go earlier in the show, so we got one of our GOATs in his place. Who better than Drew from Westchester to fill his shoes? Drew, what up, pal?
What's up, boys? Honor to fill Tom's spot. I'll try to do him proud.
No pressure.
So let me start with this. I know you guys have been commenting a little bit on how you don't feel like this draft has as much excitement as some other years, and I'm kind of okay with that because I remember 9 years ago, 24-year-old me, about an hour before the draft, gets off the subway. I'm trying to catch up on what's going on. And the first thing I see is a video on Twitter from Elliott with 60 people at the Eagles draft party chanting, do the deal at Chip Kelly. So I'm okay with it being
it
a little
like it
more
it was way more than 60,
time.
By the way. Try like 600. Not,
No joke, Drew. We talked about trading for Mariota for an entire summer on the radio. It was like every day we came into work and it's like, what should we talk about
were
today?
You guys do
oh,
the deal?
Let's trade for Mariota again. Yes.
Were you on
I
the
was
side?
All in on do
you
the
were
deal. All in on
I
do the deal.
I was too, but I also don't think I've ever been more stressed for a draft, so I'm excited to not have that level of stress Thursday night.
With you, buddy. Yeah. With you. It's a good point.
So I'll start with the two things that I wouldn't like. Overall, I like your guys' big boards. I like the you guys know I'm real high on Jared Verse. He's my one.
You are,
The two things that I think would make me upset are I don't want one of the tackles who can't play guard, for example.
We're
I don't want like Mims or Guyton. And I don't want Latu from UCLA. I just think there's too much of a risk there medically.
So I'll take a chance there. Real quick, I'm happy you brought him up. Joe Giglio has been tweeting about him a lot. He's big on him. So here's my thing.
It's like Dallas Turner, then him and Verse are like the next two guys, right?
Chop Robinson's right
and
there,
Chop's a little bit. But generally, when you're looking, those are the next two guys going in the mocks, it seems like, at the edge rusher position.
So my concern is, I do think he's an outstanding pass rusher. If he was 21, he would probably be a top five pick in the draft. But he's old. He's like 24. He had to medically retire for 2 years, which credit to him for fighting back, and that's awesome of him, but that is a concern.
It's a big concern.
It's a big concern.
Right? Let's call it like you see it. That is a massive concern.
Well, but and the reason he had, if he like retired for 2 years because of an ACL or a knee, that would be concerning. But he had to retire for 2 years for a neck injury, and I don't think he's more likely to re-injure it. But the issue is, if he were to re-injure it,
it could be
he's
done.
Like
he's done. Over.
Yeah. So I think as a player, I think he's a win now player. If the Eagles, you know, and they are, I guess, a win-now team. He'll come in next year and be the best edge rusher in the draft. The question is, in 2-3 years, is that risk going to be worth it?
Yeah, I think I just see Verse as like a safer win-now guy. And I do think there's a real chance that Howie trades up. You know, I always, in the press conferences, I always feel like there's a hint of truth in every like kind of joke like Howie or Nick makes. And you keep hearing him say like multiple times, like, I love the trade. I like the trade, so I hope he gets aggressive Thursday night. I think Seattle could be a spot to maybe do it, could be a good partner. One day two guy who I wanted to suggest to you guys, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, but Mike Sanistril, the corner out of Michigan, similar to the point Corey was making, I am not a big Avante fan either, and I think if you watch Sanistril, I think he plays bigger than his measurables are. There's a moment in the Ohio State-Michigan game a couple years ago. C.J. Stroud throws this pass to a Ohio State tight end who's probably going to be a day two or day three pick, Cade Stover. Probably has about 60 pounds, like six inches on Sanistril, and he gets in there and just breaks up the pass. Beautiful technique. I think he'd beat Avante out in a camp competition, and I'd love to get him with one of the second round picks if we don't go corner in the first round.
Drew, great call, brother. We'll react to that. Great call. We'll talk to you next week. Real quick, before you react, I do want to say also, because I do think that we've had multiple callers say it. I believe Corey, the other one, to say it. Like, I agree with them. Like, you cannot count on Avante Maddox. I like Avante Maddox as a player, but it would be folly to go into the season and say, all right, we're set with Avante Maddox as our slot corner, because he just has not stayed on the
And team. I don't think they will.
I agree. I think, look, they cut him and brought him back. Yeah.
I, I, uh, I, I think he's not even a lock to make the team. I think he will.
I agree with
you. He would be on my initial 53, but I don't think he's a lock.
And if they drafted a kid like that in the second round, he probably wouldn't make the team.
Yeah, so Sanestril, actually, I don't know how much you've read about or seen him, but he's
very
someone,
little.
He's someone I think you would love. He is a dude. Like, he is a hard hitter. He's a national champion, which I do think matters somewhat. Mm-hmm. He's a physical player. I do agree with Drew that he plays bigger than his size. I think him, Max Melton, and Andrew Phillips, Max Melton out of Rutgers, Andrew Phillips out of Kentucky, would be the three nickels that I think I like enough that I would consider taking a 50 or 53. Then maybe you have Maddox as just a do-it-all backup, but I think those three guys will come in and be awesome right away.
Yeah, I think the 50 and 53, I agree with you. It's one of those things where they have to really be good to do that.
Yeah, if you're
you can't take someone who's going to be a slot corner at 22. You can't do it.
Yep.
But at 50 or 53, I mean, that guy's going to play a lot.
Yeah, he's so kind of a starter.
That's the point with the way the NFL is now. All right, let's keep it rolling, go to Ocean City and talk to our guy, Chris. Christopher!
Yeah, what's going on?
First off,
Drake is a child actor from Toronto, and the fact that he successfully conned the world into co-signing him as a successful hip-hop star is one of the most successful con jobs of all time.
First of all, Degrassi, all-time great show. So don't diminish his work there. But you're right. He has become the best rapper of all time, arguably.
Stop. Kendrick Lamar is so superior to him.
I disagree with you on this, but we can't get into it now. Yeah.
And Drake, honestly, he should probably be careful because Kendrick's co-signed by Snoop, Dre, all those guys. But interesting fact about Kendrick, started off as Tech N9ne's hype man named K-Dot. I saw him with E-40.
Get out of here, really? Oh, shout out to E-40. Sport. I loved E-40 growing up, man.
That's right, baby.
So he is an Oakland guy then, and Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. He's I can't remember the exact
Bay Area.
I thought he's like in LA.
Well, E-40 is like the Bay Area.
No, I know, he's
band.
A big Warriors guy, yeah.
That's right. But anyways, moving on to the draft, I'm kind of entered my Pepe Sylvia portion of draft prep.
Pepe Sylvia.
I don't know who this guy is.
Charlie Day says it. That's why I had to do that. That is Charlie Day from Always Sunny. Yeah. I had to do it, Chris. If you're going to say that, I'll give everyone what they want.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things where if you listen to Howie in that presser, it certainly sounds like they're going to go O-line. Mm-hmm. But then we know that he historically lies and engages in misdirection all the time. So who knows?
Yeah.
The biggest thing for me is that they just need to hit, kind of going off what you were just talking about. Their first round draft returns outside of Devontae over the last decade have been really poor. So I care less about the position that they pick. They just need to make sure that the player hits. And to that point, I think I'm leaning more towards defense as my preference to have that impact day one starter. But I'd still be okay with one of those O linemen that has positional versatility. That's kind of where I am with that.
So I agree with your overall premise. I do think how you miss in the draft is drafting for need. Like you have to, obviously need's a part of it. They're not going to take a quarterback at 22, but I think you have to just take the best player. I just think the better players will be on the offensive side of the ball at 22, but it's a very unpredictable draft. I mean, there's a chance. I don't think he'll get all the way there, but there is a chance that Quinyon Mitchell's available at like 17 or 18.
There totally is.
Yeah.
And let's remember the N'Kobe Dean thing. There are so many years where Andre Dillard or all these guys where just like we put so much focus and look, the people who put mock drafts together, the Daniel Jeremiah's on, they do a lot of work and it is not, you know, and it's not just their opinions.
Yeah,
it's
they
what
talk
they
to
hear.
People, yeah.
So like it is informed. But every single year, there'll be two, three guys who are in the top 10 of every mock draft will go in the 20s or fall out of the first round or whatever. It happens every year, so certainly possible.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll see what happens with the draft. I'm at the point where I just want it to be over. I'm kind of tired of thinking about it.
Once it's over, you'll miss it because then we have about two or three weeks of nothingness. But yeah.
Well, no, because I can just scream at you about Jalen. Okay, which I'm about to do now.
There we go.
So I just wanted to briefly touch on Jalen's presser. I've been surprised at the negative reaction. I thought it was excellent. Was really encouraged to hear that he's going to be setting the tone and the culture and that he's communicated that need to leadership. And it makes me wonder, are mandatory OTAs a consequence of Jalen's conversations? And when you look at our new core and nucleus, Jalen, AJ, Devontae, and Saquon all strike me as buttoned-up professional guys who are about their business, and that's the new core. And I am extremely encouraged to see what this new environment is going to be like. And I fully endorse Jalen waiting to see what the game plan, what the theme of the offense is going to be, and for him to be able to take the reins and lead the team into that new direction. I thought his answers were intuitive, honest, and authentic. Mm-hmm. He's phenomenal. And then also, I don't think we've talked enough that he's been spending his offseason picking Dawn Staley's brain. So if there's any criticism about his leadership, I think I'll rely on Don Staley's opinion of Jalen and his leadership as opposed to the talking heads.
Look, Chris, on the whip. Chris, love you, buddy. Great call. But look,
to be fair, we don't know what Don Staley thinks
and
his leadership.
Also, yeah, that's true. And also, look, I don't think that's fair. I think it is, coming off what just happened last year, I think it is absolutely fair to question Jalen's leadership. I believe in him still. I've said many times, I think he's going to be great this year. Like, I am far more in on Jalen, as I've been pretty much throughout his career, than a lot of people are. But to not discuss it, to not question it when what happened last year, the way they collapsed with the what was said about it, what he said, what the team has put out there about it, you know, through other channels, like you have to talk about it, Chris. Like, that's asinine to just be like, it's fine.
Well,
like, that is putting your head in the sand. Like, you at least have to discuss it.
Well, look, love Chris. Great Gobert caller. Where I disagree with on him is, it's not something that WIP hosts are making up. The Eagles feel this way, so we are discussing it. Now, to his point about the press conference, I thought probably the biggest, other than saying he's had a revolving door at offensive coordinator, which I thought was a very interesting comment, but the best thing he said was, this year he knows he needs to be more of the, and I'm paraphrasing, more of the tone setter, not just kind of go with the culture, you know, live within it. He needs to be the one to set it. And I thought that was very encouraging to hear.
Yeah, but you just have to go do it. And look, again, I believe in him, but again, what happened last year, and to Elliot's point, like, the Eagles putting stuff out about Jalen needing to be more vocal, and again, as much as people might not like it, you know, that is part of the job. You are the franchise quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. How you interact with people, how your teammates care about you, how you interact with them and get them motivated and get people to go to war with you. You know, like, that matters.
Yeah.
It is a part of the job, so it has to be talked about.
And to that point, Jalen does represent the franchise well. This isn't saying he's a problem.
Totally.
I mean, yesterday it came out he donated to
$200,000 to Philadelphia to pay for air conditioning in schools.
Exactly. So,
like, come on, man. He's a wonderful guy.
Me and you have talked about Jalen literally since the second he's been drafted. And I've said multiple times, I think at the podium sometimes he looks like the exact type of quarterback you want representing your franchise. I just believe the Eagles think he needs to be more outgoing as a leader and more talkative.
And again, like, we know whatever happened in that locker room, we'll never know. And it probably wasn't as bad as some people think or whatever. But, like, they collapsed last year.
He was there for that.
He's not just there. He's the quarterback. Yeah. Like, it does matter. All right, let's keep it rolling with our faves. Our guy Justin in Tennessee. What up, feller?
What's happening, fellas? How y'all doing today?
What up, fellas?
We had to have, we love all our cars, but the show before the draft.
Yeah,
like,
this is a Justin.
We had to have Justin. Yeah. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, boys. I had to cut out on my great nephew's first birthday party a little early because, like y'all said, it's the last show before the draft.
Exactly.
You're the best.
And also,
he won't remember it anyway.
Yeah, it's his first birthday. He has a lot more coming.
He's covered nice and from head to toe, and it was like it was a mess. And
nice.
I wished him happy birthday, and I cut out our boys.
But, love it.
Anyway, I got one thing at the end I want to throw out there that y'all might get a kick out of. But Elliot, buddy, I think you and I will be in agreement on this. If Howie has told us anything, he likes to build through the trenches. And Justin in Richmond hit the nail on the head. If we sit there at 22 and Byron Murphy's there, I think that's where they go.
Yeah.
I really do. Because like you guys said, we lost Fletch. We don't know what Jordan Davis is still yet, other than he gets tired after about 6 to 7 games into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he just cannot keep up. You know, his stamina just is not there. He's a massive man. But we need somebody to come in and help take that pressure off.
Well, not just the stamina. He hasn't shown he can impact the passer, which is the most important quality in a defensive tackle, in my opinion. So outside just the stamina, he could have the best stamina in the world. He has to show he can impact the passer.
Exactly. When a quarterback is most pressured when the pressure's coming directly in his face. Because coming off the edge, he climbs the pocket, steps up, delivers the pass. We all know that.
100%.
So I think you hit the nail on the head. That was what my call was going to be based around. Byron Murphy, because I think, you know, we know this, the philosophy of this team. They like to build in the trenches, whether it be offense or defense. And if there's no move to be made, if Howie has to stand pat at 22, I think, you know, the stuff with Kool-Aid and Cooper and all those DBs and stuff that we like and maybe the tackles, I think it's going to be defensive tackle Byron Murphy.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the second round, guys, I really want Cooper Beebe. I've watched YouTube clips of this guy.
Yeah, I like him too.
Right.
It's a great name, by the way. It's a Cooper Beebe. I'm in.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, he's athletic. He can get out and he will just mow guys down as a pulling guard.
He'd be
man.
So good yes. right away, too. I think he's someone week one snap when you could, you know, you never know, but you'd have some strong confidence in him playing right away.
Yes, exactly. And I'm going to throw another guy out there who I think he's probably going to wind up being like a free agent type of guy. If not, he'd be like a seventh round guy. But we've always loved, you know, Boston Scott. Darren Sproles, those small, diminutive, smaller guys. There's a guy out of Missouri, Cody Schrader. This kid was phenomenal last year from Missouri. I think he had like over 1,500 total yards, 1,600 total yards. He catches the ball really well. He will block. He will knock your block
nice.
Off.
Well, just thanks for putting him on my radar. I'll check him out.
Like I said, he's probably an undrafted guy, but he can return punts, kicks. This guy, he's great. I'd love to see him because he's just tough as nails. Okay, my final thought. Okay.
Nice.
Everybody
I see what you did there.
Knows how.
Work.
Sorry. Everybody's been going on about Spike's, the bill of Spike and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Spike needs to stick to that because I've seen his quarterback list and putting Spencer Rattler. Tell me you've never watched college football without telling me you've never watched college football. Having Spencer Rattler number one and Bo Nix number two.
Love it.
It is atrocious, Spike, buddy. I ain't got to talk to you a whole lot. I've been working a lot this week, but stick to your bill of Spike and the rules and whatnot, and let us professionals deal with football, and you stick to Ricky Sanchez and all that stuff. But anyway, I'm going to get off here. I love you, boys. I mean,
I love the
– the best. Spike catching some shrapnel
today.
Let us
professionals.
I love it. Yeah, Spike is – there have been multiple callers coming in.
I know.
Like,
he's making
Spike.
An impact already.
Yeah.
Two things. One, I think the need to draft a running back is probably a little underrated. If they're going to run it a ton this year, if knock on wood, hopefully it doesn't happen, Saquon were to go down, you really need someone there. And I like Spencer Rattler, too. I mean, he was formerly the number one guy.
You don't like him better than Caleb Williams
than
whatever.
But I think Rattler would be like
he's an interesting
fourth or fifth round pick.
He was the number one quarterback
tons
in the
of
nation.
Talent,
All right, 215-592-9494. With you till 3, we're going to continue to roll calls. Until then, we're going to get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. It's Go Birds Radio. Don't go anywhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go, Birds Radio. Elliot Short Parks, James Seltzer with you for another 30 minutes leading you up to Rob Ellis at 3. We'll just keep rolling here as Robbie will carry it through. Let's get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. We want to talk to as many Go Birds regulars as we can. Plus, let's go to a call who is a morning show regular and needs to call us more in the weekends. I believe he's called Go Birds just a couple times, but one of my faves, our guy Ken in Cinnamon. And Ken, why don't you call us more on the weekend? What the hell?
Because I'm a loser. What can I tell you?
All right, good.
Good
answer.
To hear from you.
Good answer. What up, pal?
James, you know why I don't call you more often. It's got to do with Saturdays.
Yeah,
so,
I get it, brother. Don't worry.
I'll be calling you more often now.
Cool.
So on Jalen, real quick, listen, I've said this before. I've said this to you before, I think, and the morning show crew, but why are we so fixated on press conferences? I don't care if he sits in a press conference and reads the alphabet. As long as he plays better next year, That's all I care about. And the reason people get themselves ensconced in camps around here. And so there's the people that will never want to believe that Jalen Hurts has the ability to be the 2022 version of himself. And there's the people who will never admit that there's any flaws with Jalen Hurts. And you have to be somewhere in between. He needs to play better than he played last year.
So where I agree with you, Ken, is I do think that while the personality and leadership stuff is worth talking about, his play was the bigger concern last year than how he handles himself on the sideline. As for the press conference stuff, you're right. Press conferences ultimately don't matter a ton. I think where people get frustrated, and frankly where the Eagles probably want him to grow from last year, is the guy you see at the press conference has the same exact demeanor as the guy on the sideline. So it almost feels like a continuation. I think if he was more fiery on the sideline and we saw more clips of him talking to his teammates and stuff, the press conferences might not irritate people as much. But I think since it feels like a continuation, that's where you see some frustration.
If that's his personality, that's his personality.
I get that.
I think everybody just wants the guy to be who he is, right? So if that's his personality, I'm fine with that.
That's true, but also different times call for different styles. And Jalen's been incredibly successful with his personality, so where I agree with you, Ken, is like he should not change who he is, right? I mean, who he is has worked at a very high level, but different situations. Like at the end of last year where the season's falling apart, I think that's when the Eagles wanted to see Jalen be a little more outgoing and rally the troops than maybe he was.
Can I hit the draft real quick?
Go for it, please.
I think if there's by some miracle, the Eagles can wind up scoring Troy Fatanu in the first round, and then Ennis Rakestraw in the second round, because Rakestraw should be available when they pick in the second round.
Maybe he's one of those guys. And again, who knows with mock drafts? But he has been climbing mock drafts.
It's such a
lately.
Tough draft to read.
Like we're in the studio, Ken, and the NFL Network is on, and they just constantly have the mock draft going. And they have Rakestraw going at 30 in this one, so you never know.
He's a good player. They would win the draft if they could be their first two picks. And then Elliot, you mentioned a running back. I look at Blake Corum. I see Jordan Howard, and that to me is who he reminds me of. You know he can block because he's coming from Jim Harbaugh's
which
system
is huge.
In Michigan.
Yeah,
which is huge for the Eagles in particular. So if you're going to draft a running back, and you know on the second day or the third day. I would be okay with a guy like Blake Corum.
Love it. Ken, great call, brother. Call us more often on the weekends.
Yeah, not second day. I wouldn't take a...
I agree. Fifth round
thing
for me. But I would be fine there. Like, you know, Kenny Gainwell, first and foremost, the rookie contract's coming up soon. Thank God. Yeah. But it's like, I don't... Like,
he can't be the
number
one
guy. We
feel
great about Saquon, obviously. But past that, like, I don't feel great about Kenny Gainwell playing a ton of snaps.
Here's a draft value question I've been thinking about. Haven't got to ask you yet. What would you rather trade? A second this year or the Hassan Reddick pick?
So I generally believe you should always want to trade the future ones. And I think they're less valuable. But in this specific case where we have talked about a draft that for the most part seems light on talent, again, it would depend on me looking ahead and seeing what that I believe
right,
is
who's
how
on the board and all that.
What the
yeah.
next draft's going to look like, and that's a dangerous game. You know, we've all heard the quarterbacks are so great next year. That was the year that Mahomes was drafted. Mm-hmm. And people thought, oh, the next year is the year, like all that stuff. Whatever. But I think in this case, because of the lack of true great players and real depth. I know you said the first two rounds are better than the rest, but it would just, I'd rather have a second round pick in a deeper, more talent laden draft.
I do think the Hassan pick is a really intriguing asset going into this draft. It's 2 years out. It could be a second round pick. There's the condition. Sorry,
it could be
Howie,
a high second round. It's the Jets. Yeah. We're betting against the Jets.
It could
it's
be
been
a top 40
thing
pick.
To do. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's a real trade asset moving forward.
Let's keep it rolling with our guy, Glenn in Wisco. What up, Glenn?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What up? Man, I don't hear Wisco often.
I thought I'd go for, well, that's what they call, you know, the college Wisco.
No, I know.
You know,
I'm
like
just
whatever.
Saying. I think
but
you threw Glenn off. Even.
I did. I normally go Glenn in Wisconsin. I was like, I'm going to mix it up today.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's get on the record day. So.
Little bit of throw off on there. I'm going to go as always that James has the better takes here trading for Surtain there. You. I mean, and going back to what you said earlier, an hour after this disastrous offseason by Howie, I'm way more nervous going in the draft than ever.
A disastrous offseason by Howie.
Disastrous offseason.
Whoa, elaborate.
Yeah.
So, look,
I think that
people have got, like, the people, oh, great offseason. I'm not there. I need more on the defense. I think it's been an okay offseason. Why do you think it's been so bad?
I mean, we gave up more for Kenny Pickett than the Steelers had to give up for Justin Fields. And Kenny Pickett was a worse quarterback than Mitch Trubisky on the Steelers last year.
So real quick, just for what it's worth, the Pittsburgh pick that they gave up can become a fourth-round pick if he plays 50% of the snaps. So, like, it's actually the same thing if he plays. But I guess with the protections, it's a little less.
And you know, I'll counter a little bit, too. Clearly the league valued Kenny Pickett much more than the outside did.
Well, the Eagles did. We don't know what the other offers were. Well, we don't know what the Eagles...
But I think Howie's pretty good at knowing.
He is, but still.
I don't think it was like a seventh, and the Eagles came in with this pick. And my guess is that was roughly the price.
I think especially with a backup quarterback, and especially the way the Eagles play, I'd rather have like a more athletic quarterback, Justin Fields in general, than Kenny Pickett
there. That was the argument for Mariota, and Mariota couldn't throw the ball. So I think there's logic there, but the top priority has to be they have to like his passing about him the best, in my opinion.
Because I want to go on the draft, the other things is there. We were always a team that talked about how smart we were, not paying running backs, and we just paid a running back. And as well as with Bryce Huff, paid him a lot of money. He only played 46% of snaps last year. So we talked about how his dramatic jump in snaps may have affected his play. And then now we're going to be having a guy probably play more snaps and not sure how that might go out. You're just kind of playing with fire at that.
Yeah, look, I agree that there's questions with all the move. I think disastrous is strong, but I appreciate the strong take. What do you have on the draft?
The draft, that's what I'm saying. I think getting Surtain, I mean, it's Howie's record back there. I'm not saying every GM's record's great, but if you have a proven person that played corner, especially after last year, we saw aging corners. You don't want to have aging corners. You just don't want to have it. They drop off a cliff. They get hurt, and that's something you need to bolster up on there for it. And then, as we've known before, the Eagles do a decent job, at least in the past, with getting good talent in offensive line in those mid rounds. I mean, Jason Kelce, Mailata, Sam Alu, like they do well.
Yeah, big V, tons of them. Yeah, no, it's a great point, Glenn. Great call. And that would be the counter, I do think, with the offensive line is, you know, you can point to a lot of examples in Eagles history, recent Eagles history, where they have, you know, turned third rounders into valuable guys, fourth rounders, seventh rounders. And the Mailata thing is a unique situation. And look, there's also a lot of examples where the Jack Driscolls don't become more than that.
Right. I mean, if you look at their current offensive line, if they were to play a game today, Lane was a first round pick. Steen's a second round pick. Juergens is a second round pick.
Steen was a third round pick.
Sorry, he was the first pick of the third round.
He was a third round pick.
Yeah,
yep.
He was a third round pick. And Dickerson
was a second.
Yeah, and then Mailata was a seventh.
But, so only one first rounder.
So I think there is a good argument for it. I just ultimately
think...
Not
to mention the other argument being that, you know, yes, you want to have studs at all the positions on the offensive line, but you do have, you know, three guys you feel really good about. Mm-hmm. You have one guy who a lot of people think could be a great center and handpicked by Jason. Yeah. Like, so you do have a little more talent there where it's like they can lift someone. Look, the Eagles won the Super Bowl with Stefan Wisniewski and Big V on the offensive line.
Yeah.
Because they had three other studs around him.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, I do think there is more room for error there than at corner where a guy's out on an island all by himself. And when they fall off a cliff, they fall off a cliff bad. So
I think corners have a higher impact than guards do. In
I agree.
A way. Like
I agree.
A high, right? But
the unit of the offensive line.
Yes, but the unit of the offensive line, if you have one really bad one, really hurts you.
Totally. Let's go back to phones. We haven't heard from him in a while. My guy Ike in Burlington. What up, Ike?
What's going on, y'all?
How
what
been,
up,
pal?
Ike?
Hey, James, man, don't kill me for this.
Oh
but,
no.
I'm a back Elliot up on this
bet. Oh!
On the betting thing?
My guy, Ike, are you serious? You know what? Actually, you know what? Here's what I'll say. Actually, in this specific case, you know what?
I need one.
Elliot needs
I need
one. That's what I was about to say.
One.
I was like, he needs someone on his side. Go ahead. Why?
Generally, I'm against it, but it's not consistent in whoever you talk to, whoever benefits from it, does it. How can you tell players they can't do it when we've seen teams and organization lose on purpose for years?
That's a strong answer right there. But again, that's to help the team. That is still for a benefit of the team at the end of the day. If you're losing, it's because you want a draft pick. It's because ultimately for the long-term health of the organization, at least in most cases.
Yeah, but again, yeah, because it's benefiting the team. But if you're trying to bet on stuff as the bet tour and you don't know if the team's definitely showing up tonight.
Well, that's the problem. And then you're playing and you're like, well, I could go for this block or I could make $1 million. Let me miss the block. Like, what are we talking
about?
Just, here?
Like, the thing is, like, it just makes people uncomfortable.
Look, I think if you said that players were allowed to bet on their team only if they were betting on their team to win, maybe, maybe you could convince me to go that way, because then it's like they can't, then they have to try their
but
hardest.
Who's going to bet on their team to lose?
Jonte Porter bet on himself to do bad.
And he's out the league.
That's the point. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead, Ike.
Yeah, no, that's why I said generally I'm against it, but you can't say one thing's cool and not the other. Like, for playoff seeding, like, I'd argue the Bucks and a couple other teams lost on purpose to try to avoid the Sixers. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but
that's to win the title. They think they have a better path. Either way, what do you got on the Birds, Ike? Because we're up against it. What do you got on the Birds?
Nice to have you on my side, Ike. You're a good caller, so it feels good to have you in my corner.
Well, I think that our offensive side of the ball is intact. I really don't even, other than maybe guard or something like that. I want to see our defense be up, especially through the middle. And if for some reason we were able to obtain Patrick Surtain, I'd give up whatever we had to give up.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, Ike. I just think, you know, he's special. That guy's special.
Very.
I love it.
Very.
Ike, great to hear from you, man. Call us more often. All right, brother.
All right, man. I'll talk to you.
Always a pleasure, Ike. All right, 215-592-9494.
So regardless of what we would do, if Howie is on the board at, you know, 20, 21 or whatever, the Broncos 22. Call, they say, all right, 22 for Surtain. Do you think Howie does it?
I do.
I do too.
Yeah, I do. I think if it's 22 and 53, I think it's a maybe that he'll do it. But I think if they say 22 for Surtain right now, he would do it.
I think so too.
All right, 215-592-9494. One more segment for us to go. I saw my guy Robbie E through the glass there for a second ago. I'm excited to listen to Robbie E on the way home. I love that guy. He's the best. We're going to listen to Robbie E on the way home, so you should too. He's coming up next, but we got you for one more segment to go. We're going to get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. It's Elliott Trip Parks. It's James Seltzer. It's Go Birds Radio, and it's April, which is spring cleaning time, and the spring weather means it's critical to check the status of your home's windows. Are they cracked? Are they leaking? Won't open? Stay open? Those are issues. Do your seal tight? Do they seal tight to keep out the pollen and the bugs? That's super important. Call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Right now, Window Nation is offering a buy two windows, get two free deal. But listen to this. Plus, zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. It is an insane deal. It is hard to believe that is a real deal. Zero down, zero interest, no payments for 24 months. Window Nation's professional installation teams have over 10 years of experience. Their average installer has over 16 years of experience, and they've installed over 20,000 windows, and they can install your new windows in one day or less. That is a great deal. Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty with proven quality and service. It's no wonder that thousands of homeowners have trusted Window Nation for their homes, and you can too. I wouldn't be endorsing Window Nation. We wouldn't be endorsing Window Nation if we didn't have complete and total trust in them. They are the best, honestly. Get a free, no obligation quote now. It's easy. Call 866-90-NATION, and that's 866-90-NATION. Or visit online at windownation.com to schedule, and Tom Gobert sent you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, everyone. This is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final segment for Go Birds Radio. Shout out to Justin Morgenstein.
This is the first time I've ever heard
it. This is good. I like it. Yeah, it's like it got a little drop. I like that.
It's a shame we only have about 10 more minutes.
Good.
I'm ready to go a few more hours.
Strong work right there. Justin Morgenstein bringing it on the ones and twos. 215-592-9494. Let's get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. It would not be fair to get on the record for draft week.
Oh,
we
yeah,
not
did, right.
to not only not get Matt and Glenside on the record, But Matt's dad on the record, too. I'm assuming that Matt has done the work and is ready with his dad's choices as well here. Matthew, how are you, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
What up? Glad you got to call in at the last minute.
I did do the work. Yeah, I sent a message to Elliot that I might not be able to call in. So he's already seen them. I don't know if he's checked his phone. But
well, I'm glad you called in. It would have been disappointing to see that you weren't going to call.
Yeah. Well, I talked to my dad. He said number 22 overall, the guy that he thinks will not only be available, but is also potentially the best cornerback in the draft. And that is Nate Wiggins out of Clemson.
Number one on Elliott's cornerback board.
Number one on my cornerback big board. I love Nate Wiggins. I think he has. Yeah. I know. I don't know if your dad's happy or sad about that. But
it's fine.
I think he has. I think Nate Wiggins has like the cornerback number one swag. He plays man coverage. I know he's undersized, but a lot of receivers are undersized in today's NFL. The receivers, I think, are probably getting smaller. If you look at Devontae, Tyreek Hill, I mean, there's a lot of undersized. Garrett Wilson's not really big. There's a lot of undersized receivers now. I'm fine with Nate Wiggins being undersized. I think he can play sticky man coverage, and I think he has the attitude to take the responsibility of being corner number one.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of big boards that have him going as, like, the third corner. Yep. So he's potentially available. If he's not available, my dad said he wanted to go with an O lineman, specifically Latham. Is it CJ Latham? Latham.
Yeah, he will not be there, most likely. At least if the mock draft,
he's probably a trade up guy.
Yeah, the kid from Alabama, and he's the O lineman. But his number one overall guy in the draft is probably everybody, Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, so.
I think he. No. Again, I think Caleb Williams is better.
I do too, but
Marvin is awesome.
I think if I had to bet on one guy to be a lock to have a good career, it's Marvin.
Agreed. Unless he goes to the Giants, then it's rough going.
They could
for
ruin
him.
Well, anybody.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Right. He'll be an Eagle in 4 years.
Yeah, and you know, like I said, I'm not a big college football guy. I still want a linebacker. You know, I think a viable linebacker will still be available at 50 and 53, but we'll see how he does.
Fun hypothetical for you guys, really quickly: yes or no answer. The Patriots call you. They offer you number 3 overall for A.J. Brown, and you can take Marvin Harrison Jr. Would you do it?
I would, yes.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
That's interesting. All right, there you go. Good call, man.
I just think A.J.'s established. He's
well,
better.
Well, he is. It would be a fact, and good call, Matt. It would be that you're getting Marvin Harrison at 8. So I think
younger,
it'd be, I think if
deal,
you,
yeah.
it'd be like $35 million for the first 4 years. You'd probably sign him after 3 mm-hmm. or 4, whatever. $34 million as opposed to A.J.'s making 25 this year?
Yeah.
I mean, like, look, I wouldn't do that for a lot of receivers. I think Marvin Harrison is a 100% no doubt about it type of player. That would be the only reason. And again, it's just a money thing there.
Well,
so.
There might not be 10 players in the league I wouldn't trade for the number 3 overall pick.
Yeah,
it'd be like 10 quarterbacks, and then there'd be a handful of skill guys. But
215-592-9494. Let's get to a couple more calls before we get out of here. Let's talk to Ziggy in Lehigh. What up, Zig?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What up, Ziggy?
Great show. Great show.
Thanks for calling.
So yeah, I want to end on a high note. So if you just give me a second here,
sure.
Mr. Shore Parks. Since day one, every week I say to myself, I'm going to listen again. I want to hear what he has to say. I'm trying to find, you know, something that I can hold on to. But after hearing today, like, if you're telling me it's okay for athletes to tip the scale, and I say to you, you need to change your profession.
Well, Ziggy,
because you're a disgrace. Listen.
Well, no, but hold on. But you're misrepresenting what I said really quick. I'm not saying. No. Hold on. Go ahead. All right, fine. Okay. Go ahead, Ziggy. Go ahead.
No. Go ahead. I want to hear
I'm not saying it's okay for athletes to bet for their team to lose or to bet the under. If they do it and I'm employing that player as a team, I would not like it and I would release that player. What I'm saying
he says let the people do what they're going to
do
it and then kick them out of the league if
they
do it.
Caught,
he's
yes.
saying it just shouldn't be illegal for them to do it. He's saying he wouldn't support them doing it. I agree with you, Zig. You need to put in rules here.
Just let me put it in perspective, okay?
Okay.
Pete Rose, you know, I'm ready to give back the trophy every day rather than to know that this man wore that uniform of Philadelphia and the things he did,
strong disagree
betting,
with
on
that.
And off the field, whatever. No, it just opens the door. It's a disgrace, Elliot, for you to say that.
Mm. Well, we disagree, Ziggy. That's okay.
I know you like a lot of, you know, you like a lot. You have to generate a talking point.
It's just what he believes.
Totally, it's wrong, dude. Come on.
Yeah, but it's not
wrong.
To me, Ziggy.
I also think we're 10.
I understand you. I understand, you know,
I hear what you're saying, but you can't have guys betting on themselves and their team, win or lose.
Yeah.
It's just not. The game is lost then.
Ziggy.
It's WWE.
Ziggy,
okay? They'll give you a good show, but it's predetermined.
Right,
you know,
Ziggy,
what I'm saying?
Ziggy, so, I agree. Good call. We appreciate the kind words. I agree with you. I think they absolutely should not do it.
Right.
I don't think it will happen, so I don't think we have to worry about this too much. But, you know.
We shall see.
I think you probably went a little too far there with the.
It's all good. Ziggy is allowed to. I like Ziggy's
calls.
Not
a disgrace, but, you know, let's get one more call in here. Let's go to Telford and talk to Evan. Hey, Ev.
Oh, hey. What's up?
What up, Evan?
All right. So, talking about the draft, anyone who's saying pick an offensive line in the first or second day is crazy.
Mm.
We haven't even seen Tyler Steen play. Like, we don't know if he can play guard. I mean, Jeff Stoutland is just a magician. So I say we give the kid a chance this
year. But Evan.
And if he doesn't.
Evan, wouldn't you say, though, if the Eagles draft a guard at 22, that they're telling you what they think of Steen?
That could be true. But at the same time, I want to see him in an NFL game before I'm, like,
so I liked Steen coming out of college. I thought it was a good pick. It just, the sense I get after years, they maybe don't think he is what they thought he would be.
Yeah.
But so I agree. Look, he played at Alabama. He was a high pick. Like, but he played last year. He practiced with them all year. They know him. So if they take a guard that is projected to start right away, that tells you they're not as high on him as they used to be.
Yeah. Okay, I see your point there. But I have a question about the running back. You're talking about you don't like Kenneth Gainwell?
No, like, we're saying he's fine. He's just, you know, he's average.
I don't think saying you don't like Kenny Gainwell is a bold take. I mean, he's been a solid player. He hasn't been special.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Ev. We appreciate it. Yeah, like, I mean, I don't think I'm, you know.
Yeah, look, Kenny Gainwell has had a lot of chances to grab the job.
Exactly. It's like enough.
Yeah, I think we know what Kenny is at this point. He is an NFL player that should be active on game days.
I want Kenny Gainwell as my third running back on my team.
Ideally.
You know what I mean?
And as like, a second, he's okay.
I would rather be looking to upgrade my second running back position.
He can't be your starter if Saquon goes down for multiple weeks.
Right. All right. Thank you to everyone. Yeah, this was great. Thank you to everyone who called in. We literally could not do the show without you. The lifeblood of the station. Thank you to Justin Morgenstein, crushing it behind the glass, as always. Thank you to Elliot Shore Parks for just bringing the knowledge. I'll say it again.
All that info
just off the dome there.
It was some good, some bad.
Very impressive stuff.
Depends who you talk to.
Join us next week. We'll be back 1 to 3 to react to the draft, plus a ton of us
live during the draft next weekend.
Plus, Elliot will be on for the draft show Thursday night. Friday, he'll be on. He'll be on all week. And obviously, the morning show, check us all out. We'll be on all week talking draft. And obviously, keep it here, because our guy, Rob Ellis, will be taking you through the rest of the afternoon. I'm sure he'll be talking Eagles draft a whole lot more. So thank you for listening to another edition of Go Birds Radio right here on 94 WIP.